From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. For 10 years, Atlanta native Amber Nash has voiced the strong-willed Pam Puvey on FXX's Archer.
I really like you.
Oh my God, Pam, I think you might be my best friend.
You're my best friend.
What about Cheryl?
You're my second best friend. Woo! I'm Pac-Man Jones!
Season 10 of the show is set to launch straight out of the stratosphere and into space. And we've snagged Amber while she is still on Earth to chat about her career and preview the new season. Amber, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being here. Was voice acting on your list as a dream job?
No, I didn't actually. I'd never really considered it.
What did you want to be?
When I was very small, my first job that I wanted to be was a bus driver, because I thought that was just like the best job ever.
Everybody says hi to you.
Right. You're in charge of a big vehicle. It's great. And then I actually went to school. I went to get my bachelor's degree in psychology. That's what the plan was. And then I found acting and was like, wait a minute. My parents will hate that I want to do this. Let's go that route.
Did you ever work in psychology in the field?
I did, actually. When I graduated, I got actually a job in social work. I was working for the state of Georgia at a camp for teenagers with emotional and behavioral issues.
Wow, that was a heavy job.
It was. But I grew up really fast. I got that job when I was 25. And it was incredible. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to put this aside for a while and try acting.
Really? So acting was the next choice. But you did work in radio for a while.
Well, I did. I did some radio spots here and there. That was kind of my first steps into doing voice work. Yeah. So I was kind of gigging as an improviser and an actor. And so I'd get little radio spot gigs and do those and learn on the job.
Do you remember any of the spots that you did?
You know, they were always like, they were in Georgia that I recorded them, but they were always for different markets. So it was like Baltimore, like a mattress firm or something in Baltimore. I don't remember any specifics, no, but they were always like, we need comedians to do like a little sketch in this commercial. So, yeah.
I've done those before, too. Yeah. It's just so weird. You know, you're supposed to, you take on a character, but I guess good training for an actor.
Totally.
Well, a lot of actors seem to migrate to Los Angeles or New York City, but you've stayed here in Atlanta. Did you ever think about leaving for a new opportunity?
I did. It was actually, it was something that I was always in the back of my mind. I was like, if I want to do this, I need to go to LA or New York. The thing was, is I was always working here. So I was like, why would I leave when I'm getting jobs as an actor to go somewhere where there's so many more actors and I'm not going to get any jobs? Mm-hmm. And then that kept going. And then the market in Atlanta exploded. And now people are moving from LA to Atlanta for work. So it's, I'm glad I wrote it out.
Well, and your rise, I guess, was at the same time or concurrent with the rise in roles and production here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, so what was that like to witness?
It was really cool. It was actually very surprising. And there's a lot of people in the arts community in Atlanta that are like, hey, we're going to stick to this. We're not going to leave. We're going to make the scene here. And there's a really cool indie art scene that happens here, too, that's really amazing. And I feel like we've got our own identity as artists, which is really cool.
How is it different than, you know, the acting community here in Atlanta and in Georgia than other cities?
I think one of the things that sets us apart is because we've always been our own smaller market that if you want to do something here, you can make it happen. And that now that there's even more crew that's here and people that are looking for fun side jobs, something that's interesting to them that they'd be willing to do for not a lot of money, then you can make stuff happen. And so I think that people are willing to do their own interesting projects as opposed to what they think is going to be commercially viable or is going to sell or is going to get a casting director to look at them. I think people are more in it for the art in Atlanta.
Ah, so a different level of risk.
Yeah, totally.
And one of your earliest voice acting roles was for Adult Swim's Frisky Dingo.
Let's hear
just a clip.
Why does it say welcome to you are doom? What does that even mean? And why, for God's sakes, is doom in quotes?
I don't know.
Is this some sort of ironic doom? So please tell me how and why I'm suddenly a laughingstock.
Because you signed off on the proofs?
What was the setup like for Frisky Dingo?
You know what? This is so funny. Like, we were moving into season two of making that show, and I was starting to understand what the show was about, and I was like, I got to get out, because the show was so crazy that I don't really know what the show was about.
I actually don't even know what it was about. What was Frisky Dingo?
It was, honestly, I still don't know, and I did both seasons. It's a very weird, very, very Adult Swim. It's got that. And it was one of the early Adult Swim shows. And it's got that, like, if you're looking for an Adult Swim show, that is one of them. It's like crazy. Boys like it. You know, there was a character called Killface. I still don't know what the show was about. I just know the characters that I played.
What were you? What were your characters?
I played a character named Val, who in the beginning, for some reason, was always like in a kimono. She was an assistant of some kind. I really don't know. And then I played a lot of secondary characters. That was the fun part because they didn't have a lot of people and they just needed somebody that would show up, do their lines. They could call them and I'd be there in 10 minutes. And I could do some character voices. So I played several different characters, but I'm terrible with accents. So I can't do accents, but I can do different characters. And so I think I probably played maybe 4 or 5 characters on the show.
How did you develop these characters? Was this something that just came as were you the kid who imitated people? Or,
you know, I was the kid that would screw around. I realized quickly, maybe like in like 3rd or 4th grade, if I wanted to make friends, that the best way for me to do it was to get people to laugh. Because I wasn't like a sports kid. I wasn't, you know, there's like the cute kids and everybody just follows them around. I wasn't one of those. So I was just kind of weird and fringe. And I was like, if I play characters on the playground, people will get into it. And that's how I made friends. I had my very first character I ever played was on the playground. And it was, I think it was, I called it Escaped Convict. And I would scream and run around and chase people. And people were like, this is awesome.
So when you decide to go into psychology, do your parents think, oh, that's a really good choice?
I think they were like, great, Amber, let's like make this something that's going to be something that people can look kindly on as opposed to just being insane.
But were you playing things out? I mean, I wonder about that. That sounds like a really developmentally advanced kid.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe I just had a lot of things inside of me. And I didn't know exactly what to do with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with actor and Atlanta native Amber Nash. She plays Pam on FXX's Archer and appears at Dad's Garage in Atlanta. I want to get into Archer's 10th season because it's premiering this year.
Yep.
And the first episode introduces Pam as this mousy HR director. This is back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But she's evolved over the course of the seasons. What was your draw to her as a character?
Oh, man. Well, the thing was, in the beginning, I was just drawn to the job, right? I was like, I get a job in acting, great. And then the show, I don't think I realized that the show, none of us did, that the show was going to become what it is.
And so I think, successful.
Yeah, I think it was, because I hadn't even met any of the other actors until season 2 was like halfway through.
Oh,
recording.
Right, as a voice actor, you never have to interact
right,
in the same
because we
way.
Were in Atlanta and they were making the show here, but everybody else was in LA and New York. And then I was like, oh, this has got a lot of famous people on it. You know, like Chris Parnell, I'd been watching him like my whole like growing up as a comedy person. So I was like so stoked to meet him. And then I think that once we realized that the show was successful and people were really starting to like Pam, because she was kind of just like she was a little bit of there's just the butt of the joke. That was kind of why she was developed. And then she started to progress into other things and have different sides of her and different skills. And she kind of became like a real formidable character. And people really started to appreciate her. And she kind of became this weird sex symbol, too, over time. And so I've watched her develop and grow. And I was actually at I was at San Diego Comic-Con, this was a few years ago, and everybody's lined up to ask questions, and lots of people are in cosplay. And I see that there's like a Pam a few people back, and so I'm kind of waiting to hear from her. And she was the last person to get a question in before time was up, and she was in full Pam cosplay. And she started talking to the panel and saying that she was so excited that she finally had a character she could cosplay as that wasn't like fat Cinderella. Like, she could be just regular Pam. Mm-hmm. And she got teary-eyed, and everybody on the panel's getting teary-eyed, and we're like, so proud of this cartoon character. It's just really amazing the life that it's had.
For people who don't know Archer, can you give us the kind of setup of what the whole Archer scheme is?
Yeah, so it started out as this spy comedy meets office comedy with a bunch of people that are terrible human beings. And Archer, his mom was also part of the company, and his ex-girlfriend was part of the company, and there was lots of intermingling and office politics. And Pam was originally the HR director. And then through the seasons, Pam kind of became like a field agent as one of the spies. And then it all kind of exploded in season 5 when Archer went off the rails and did Archer Vice, which was like set like a Miami Vice kind of situation in Miami. And then we went back in season six to the regular world. And then since then, we haven't been back. And Archer is officially in a coma. And each season that's happening is kind of like a coma dream. There was a season that was film noir. There was a season that was like on a tropical island. And now we're in space. So there's something for everybody.
So what is that like to try on all these different iterations of the show? I mean, do you even have a clue when you show up that this is where we are now? We're on Fantasy Island or we're in Miami. Or
yeah,
whatever.
We usually get a phone call from Adam, the creator of the show, to kind of let us know, okay, so here's what I'm planning. The network has said yes, and so this is what we're going to do with it. So we always get a little bit of a hint. And the thing is that's cool is, like, the biggest one was in Archer Dreamland, which was the noir one, and I was playing a gender-neutral character that very much dressed like a man. And they told me that the character was based on Russell Crowe's character from L.A. Confidential. So as an actor that's been playing a character for 8 years, that's awesome because you can't get bored. But the funny thing is I was like, well, do you want the character to sound any different? And they're like, nope, just the same. So it's kind of more subconscious. It's just coming from, you know, what, just knowing this in the back of my mind. And maybe it did change the performance a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think it's just fun to imagine this new kind of lens over the character. And this season, Pam's a gigantic rock monster.
Oh, can we get a preview of Pam's voice as rock monster, or is it just the same?
It's just the same.
This is working.
Yeah.
Well, Archer's won a lot of critical acclaim and Critics' Choice Awards and been on for a decade. What is it about Archer that's built to last, do you think?
I think that we kind of struck a chord early on, and so we got a lot of people interested in the show that have stayed on as like hardcore fans. But I really think the longevity of it is because it's risky, like because we're changing stuff every season. And in the beginning, fans didn't like it. You know, you can't please everybody. And I think that if you have a comedy and you're not taking risks, then it's not a good comedy. And so you have to do that, and you have to make some people not happy and then make other people delighted. And so I think the fact that we're taking risks and changing it up and keeping it fresh is what is keeping the show alive for as long as it's been alive.
You've been a mainstay at Dad's Garage in Atlanta for a long time. What kind of energy and interaction do you get from improv versus voice acting when you're sitting in a studio, much like we're sitting in right now?
Yeah, it's so different. And I think the biggest thing was in the beginning, because I was a stage actor and I didn't have a lot of training doing microphone work or being in a studio, was that I would just like stand still with my arms by my side and like talk into the microphone. And I was actually doing some commercial work, and my friend Mike Schatz was like, you gotta move around in there. Like, we can hear that you're just a person standing completely still behind a microphone. And so now I have brought what I learned doing stage acting to the studio. So like, I move around, I hit the microphone, it's fine, we'll re-record it. Pam eats a lot, so I have to eat stuff in the studio and I'm sweaty, and it feels like I've done a show when I leave the studio, like I like doing improv. But improv is always, stage acting is always my first love, because it's immediate feedback. You have an audience of people that are laughing and telling you that you're doing a great job, and it's just there, that it's you and that audience that one night. It's never going to happen again. You know, it's kind of magical.
But improv, of all things, that is the high wire act, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. But you know, now it's like, because I've been doing it for so long, doing a scripted show to me is way more terrifying, because oh no, if I forget my line, then they're not going to be able to hit the sound cue, and then the whole thing's off the rails, and then the other actors can't do their lines. So there's no mistakes in improv. And so that's super freeing to me because I've been doing it so long.
And you were one of the, you've been what, with the ensemble for what, 10 years or something like that?
Let's see. Oh, almost 15.
Almost 15
yeah.
years. And you were one of the first women
in
the group. What did that feel like?
Oh boy, I mean, it's so different now to look at the theater composition versus back then. There had been one woman before me that was in the ensemble named Kendra, and she left, and it was 2 years before another woman was put in the ensemble, which was me. So it was all boys. Like, it was like having 12 older brothers, and it still is sometimes. But I would get notes from other women that would travel to our theater that were from theaters that had more women, and they would tell me that I improvised like a man. And I was like, Well, I just had to improvise.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. I was like, maybe I played more male characters, or I had to do things that the men in the group responded to. And so I think I probably did have to elbow and be a little bit tougher mm-hmm. to get in, to get my voice heard. But then when women started coming around and more women started staying at the theater, not just taking classes and leaving, the story started to change, and the scenes would be different, and we were telling different stories because we were telling stories with more diverse voices. And now it's such a different theater, and it's really awesome to watch everybody grow and learn and be more diverse. It's great.
You also did a 2015 web series with the folks from Dad's Garage. Mm-hmm. It's called Heart, H-A-R-T, of mm-hmm. America. It chronicled the weirdness of the country. It was set in a state park. So what was the inspiration for that?
So my husband, who is the artistic director at Dad's Garage, Kevin Galise, he had an old partner. He's from Canada. And his old partner that he used to do improv with, Arlen, the way that they improvise is very specific, and they use that as a template, that format as a template for writing. So they wrote in the style of their improv. So they do three different stories that start to weave together towards the end. So that's what we had. We had three different stories that I played the main character of each of those stories, and then the narrator. So I play four completely different characters, my favorite being an old man. And then all the stories kind of weave together in a 10-episode web series. It was incredibly fun.
What's your old man voice?
It's pretty similar. Everybody at Dad's knows it because I love playing old men at the theater. It's kind of like, well, looks like you're not from around here. He's always hiding behind a bush.
It's funny watching you because your face changes
yeah.
when you do the different characters. Well, thank you so much. What a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Amber Nash, she's an Atlanta native, and she's an actor and voice actor. You can check her out in Atlanta at Dad's Garage, where she is a member of the ensemble. And the 10th season of Archer on FX premieres later this year. And that is our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, LaRaven Taylor, and Amelia Brock. Don Smith is our Dean of Grammar. Alec Kaslow, our engineer, and Amy Kiley is senior producer. Our theme song is by Alex Crispin and Marshall Ruffin. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. This is On Second Thought.